Postman! Postman, come here! Tell the neighborhood! What a shunda, Larry! Larry David! You're a lousy Jew! But you're a lousy human being!
He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair! A shunda!
Maybe you should have given me some candy!
You're a lousy Jew!
It finally is time for the postman.
Yes, the most delayed postman in PPBG history.
It's been a few days. We got to take in kind of the world reacting to the return of Party Down. That was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would say on a whole, the world was higher on this specific episode than we are, certainly than you are. I think I probably, thinking about it, graded it on too hard of a scale. I think I should have given it a softer landing. I think we didn't talk enough about like how natural this episode of Party Down was. That was kind of one of the main reactions I saw out there on the interwebs this week.
Yeah,
people reacting that like it really just like felt of a piece with the previous 20 episodes, which like sounds like okay, big deal. But like, you know, we've seen lots of, you know, reunions and reboots and stuff where like it just everything feels old and nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. And I think this was much more natural than that.
Yeah, but I also think there's a difference between like huge, super popular shows like Friends, for example, right? Mm-hmm. That the demand for the or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or whatever, like where the demand for the reboot is sort of because people want the nostalgia of like, oh, these were like important people in my childhood or my younger years. And now, whereas like this is more equivalent to Party Down is sort of like Arrested Development. It's like a show that nobody watched when it was on the air. Is gained a cult mm-hmm. feeling of people who appreciated it, and people want more content, not as like a reminisce thing, but because it was content that didn't get enough. They didn't get enough of it in the first place because there wasn't a demand. Right. Does that distinction make sense at all?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense, but I still think it's still a tremendous credit to this writing
for sure. Yeah,
team
yeah.
And yeah. team.
No,
of
they're not
crew,
just
that like
reunion.
They were yeah. able to like come back together and like. Just like made an episode of Party Down, and it was like a good clicking episode of Party Down.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely excited to jump into episode two. But before we do that, we'll hear a little bit from some of our fans out there what they thought about episode one. Maybe we'll hear something about what they thought about our podcast. Yeah, probably not. No one really is going to tell us anything about the podcast. Before we do that, I do have someone I want to complain about. I'm very irked.
Is it me?
It's not you. It's not you.
Wow.
I mean, it's, yes, but not for this person. No, I'm not really irked at you. I'm very irked, and it might be more than one person. But it's the person or persons who operate the Party Down Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what I see going on with this Party Down Twitter account, I would say, is like very indiscriminate liking and retweeting of like literally anyone on the internet who's like puts the words Party Down in a tweet.
Wow.
Like people are just like Party Down! Exclamation point. And they're like, you know, the show tweet likes it. Like sometimes if it's like, oh, like Party Down is back and it was great. And like retweet.
Yeah.
And then you got us.
Yeah.
We got the pretty, pretty good account. We got my account. I'm tweeting like, hey, I recorded an hour plus episode about Party Down.
And like also this. A dozen others like months ago when no one was talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I've done, I don't know, 50 hours of podcasting about your show. Can I get a damn like?
Yeah.
You're just giving them away? Can I get one? Maybe? No?
Really?
Okay.
They're ghosting us on social media?
Ghosting us.
Bastards.
They're completely ghosting
I guess
us.
It's not ghosting. Ghosting implies that there was ever an interaction to begin with.
Yeah, there was never an interaction to begin with. So yeah, they're just ignoring us. I think we're being throttled or shadow banned. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah, somebody's manipulating it to make my tweets not get as many likes as it should get.
They don't just not like a
they're
tweet.
They're great tweets. You don't just not like a tweet.
Yeah. They see
and
the
I
tweet.
See how many
they
and
have
now they show
about
you,
them.
I see how many people see my tweets now. And believe me, they're not all not liking it.
Yeah.
There's no way that many people saw it and didn't like it. So obviously they're lying about the likes. A lot more people liked it. It's a great tweet. Okay, but let's hear what other people said. So certainly we're not going to hear anything from the folks over at Party Down Twitter. But we did hear from Ian Rosenblum, who wrote in the WhatsApp group that he thought the two funniest parts of the episode were Lydia and Constance thinking Henry and Casey were perfect for each other because they're both skinny with brown hair. And then Ron saying he was unlucky because he peed in a house he shouldn't have peed in. Right, right. He thought that was like he was cursed because of that, right?
Yeah.
Zach Louie wrote on Twitter, new Party Down was fantastic. Oh, and he did hashtag Party Down. I bet they liked it. so excited for the new season. Oh, you know what? I did a new at Pretty Good Curb Cover, so they didn't like it because he
because you were mentioned.
That was your kiss of death. Yeah. Zach, if you just wrote new Party Down was fantastic, they would retweet you like 12 times. They would they would pay to promote your tweet. But yeah. You fucked it up. You put us in the end, and then they ignored it. Yeah, sorry, Zach. Try it again next week. I bet you'll get it this time. Allie Lasher writes in. She says, Postman. Ooh. So excited for Party Down to be back, and shout out to the pod, the only reason I even started watching. Was it perfect? Wow. No. But I loved seeing 99% of the gang back together, and the dialogue jokes feel consistent with the first two seasons all these years later. Five nostalgic parties. Ooh, high score. The come with guy is Ron. Does anyone work harder than Ron/Ken? The effing asshole has to be left hand for ruining Kyle's career and generally creeping me out. Yeah, he's very creepy.
Yeah, very creepy.
He definitely gets five pretties in the
career. As I said, he gave me like McBoyle vibes.
Yeah. Yeah, McBoyle. That's the Always Sunny guy.
Yeah. Who played the rock star, with the similar hair.
Yeah, he was a downer. Okay, we turn now to Jim Crumley, who says it is great to be back with the Party Down crew. This episode had a darker tone than most of the series, but it worked. That is true. So yeah, it was less comedic, but more darker. So I think it was still a good episode of TV, even if it wasn't the funniest episode of TV. It is a bit jarring to see the gang 10 plus years later. Some of the core crew were easy to recognize without their voices. Others were barely recognizable. Ranked from easiest to hardest to recognize. 1, Henry. Mm. 2, Ron. 3, Casey. 4, Constance. 5, Kyle. 6, Roman. 7, Lydia.
Well, Roman and Lydia, their hairstyles are the most different, I think, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Roman's got the thick goatee.
Yeah, Henry, of course, is exactly the same. Like, he doesn't age.
And Lydia's got that very interesting haircut, which is very good in the way that it obscures AirPods, right? So that they can do the whole joke that she's, cursing and we don't know that it's not a Connie.
Right.
Yeah. I wish I had hair that covered my ears. Like, I feel like if I wear a hat, which, like, in the winter, I'll often wear, like, a stocking cap, then I can have my AirPods in. But, like, if I'm not wearing a hat, like, I'm indoors, I have no way of obscuring the AirPods, which I would like to do sometimes.
I hear you. I hear you. A hood works.
Yeah. Well, I do wear the hood on my hoodie up, like, 90% of the time. But then sometimes I think that people think I might be being weird because, like, is it a weird thing for, like, an adult man to do, wear a hoodie with the hood up, like, indoors? I don't know. I'd do it anyway. I'm a weird.
I think
guy.
It's okay.
That's fine.
In some ways, I feel like Constance is the most recognizable, just because she just has like the most unique face out of any of them. Like, you're not going to confuse her.
Yeah, I would say Constance number one. I mean, I was surprised. Kyle's pretty low on that list. Like, Kyle seems kind of the same.
I thought Kyle did look a bit different. I agree with that.
I mean, he looks older, but like, you know.
Well, but yeah, right. Yeah. So like, you're used to see him as like a very pretty boy, and now much older.
Yeah, but to me, it was like, if you asked me in 2010, predict what each of these characters will look like in 2023, I think I would have had Kyle like right near. I would have had Constance number one probably, but I would have had Kyle like number two. Like, in terms of how accurate my prediction would have been to what we actually saw. I feel like Kyle sort of aged the way we would have expected him to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You have to go back in time and do one of those websites.
Henry almost, I'd say, is aged more surprisingly than Kyle, but I think that's a little bit their play.
Adam Scott.
Yeah, but like, I thought they intentionally made him look like bad, like he's unshaven and he's sort of wrinkly. I thought they were trying to show like that he's become a little bit of a nebuch.
Oh, he definitely looks like a Nebuch.
But
like,
I think they put makeup on him to do that. Because Adam Scott normally looks younger. And
even more so, you're saying.
Yeah.
Even more so. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He says the episode had a lot of work to do to set things up, but it was still funny. 4 out of 5 pretties. Come with guy is Constance. She comes back to see all of her friends, mends fences with Lydia, and is even willing to give Ron $10 million. Definitely a high point for Constance.
Yeah.
The fucking asshole is sinister Mattis.
But yeah.
Yeah. The fucking asshole is sinister Mattis. I get that he's bitter over not making it big, but it is just rude to torpedo your friend's career. One last question.
That is rude. That's fair.
One last question. Clearly, as such preeminent M&A lawyers, which I can't stop hearing as MMA lawyers, now that would be something. You two have never blooped. That's true. I've never blooped.
Yes.
If I do it, I do it as a bloop. I don't just bloop.
Yes, as a bloop.
And even if you did, you wouldn't want to share that with a public podcast audience, certainly. So do you have any stories about other lawyers blooping that you could share?
Yeah, I do have a great example of
the opposite
side's lawyer blooped in such a stupid way that they I got to speak in sort of generalities here. I was representing a professional sports team that wanted to to build a new stadium, and so they were purchasing up land to acquire the real estate where they wanted to build the new stadium. But if, like, sort of the word gets out, then it'll lead to a higher demand for that land, which otherwise has a relatively low value because there's nothing there until this development gets built. Mm-hmm. So this one other sort of weaselly local developer or real estate investor got wind of our purchases and so went and grabbed a bunch of the land themselves for no purpose other than to try to flip it and sell it to us for more.
Smart.
But, okay, sure. But instead of buying the land, they bought like this exclusivity option from the seller to only sell it to them and not to anybody else. So they didn't actually have title to it. They just had the right to it over everybody else. But what they did, which was very stupid, is the term of that agreement with that other party, it would extend, but it didn't automatically extend. It required them to send a notice and they forgot to send that notice.
Well, that's very stupid. You always want to do the opposite.
Yes.
You want it to automatically, unless you write notice to cancel.
Exactly. Instead, they did the opposite. And then they forgot to submit the notice, of course. And I discovered this loop. And so I discovered that rather than have to negotiate and enter some weird third-party agreement, we could just negotiate
straight to the seller.
Yes. Yeah. And I saved my client many, many bloops because of the bloop.
Many bloopians of dollars.
Now you could ask the question, and what benefit did you get, or credit or appreciation? And the answer would be none.
Yeah.
I'm saying me personally. I was like, you know, I felt like, oh, I just saved our client a very identifiable figure of money. You know, they might say thank you, but yes, no thank you was forthcoming.
Yeah. I once had a guy who...
The money is the thank you. Isn't that what John Hamm says? Or...
That's what the money is for.
Yeah, that's what the money is for. Sorry for screwing up the all-time classic line from a very famous TV show.
Which is what I always say whenever my school sends me an email to asking me to do something relating to the education of the children.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to argue with you about that, but I disagree. That's not what the money is for.
The money is for. You do it.
The money is insufficient to do those things.
Don't put it back on me. Just tell me, charge me more money.
Well, okay. Well, so that's the answer. Yes. If they charge tuition commensurate to cover the cost.
I don't want to also have to send soda bottles in twice a week.
Yeah. Oh, you're
just add that to tuition. Make tuition 10 cents more.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Yeah. We had to send in cans and I'm like furiously saving these cans and Jen's like throwing them out. I'm like, you can't throw them out. We got to send the cans and they need the cans.
Yeah. Like this should be part of this should be part of the package. Supply the cans.
Yeah, I think it's a message to the kids about recycling, but you know, what do I know?
Whatever. It's also bullshit. Don't get me started on recycling.
I kind of want to now.
Yeah, I once had a guy bloop on me, not really as part of his, like he didn't mess up anything in like the law. He messed up that like he thought he had sent me an email that he didn't. And then like went off at me for ignoring his email and like for trying to like that I was like trying to sabotage the deal and he was like cursing me out.
Was this person on the other side?
He was the lawyer on the other side. Okay. And like he called me, he goes on this crazy rant, and then I'm just like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like I did not get this email that you're talking about. And he's like, what? And like he hangs up on me, and then like he like sent me an email saying like I'm sorry, I realized it was like in my outbox.
Oh, okay.
And like I forwarded this to the client, and I'm like, hey, like I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Like this is like the first I'm hearing from this guy.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't really bloop because it's a crazy thing to do, even if he did send the email. It was like part of an ongoing thing. It wasn't the first time I had met him. So I think he already didn't like me, whatever, fine. But then like he just like finally lost it. But then like my client got so pissed that this guy like went off at me that like he called the other guy and was like, I'm like the price just went in half and like we're like changing all these things like more in our favor because like your lawyer
to defend
like
the honor of his lawyer.
Yeah.
How do you get clients like that?
And he was like to me, he's like, oh, I'm not going to do the deal. Like he was like, you know, I don't want to deal with this guy. If his lawyer's going to be like that. I was like, it's fine. Like the guy can yell at me.
No,
it's okay.
But that's still,
like,
still nice.
No, it was very nice. But I was like, don't not buy this business because like the lawyer is an asshole. Like that's not how you should run your life around my feelings. but he's like, no, I'm going to go tell him like I'm only doing it now if he does it your way with all the terms that we want. And like, and then we got it. Like his lawyer completely fucked up the deal. For his guy, it was great. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't like call people and yell at them because they didn't respond to your email in a timely fashion. They might not have gotten it. And even if they did, like it's just it's just your email. We end off with Zach Brooks, who says, "I'm Zach, and I accept the possibility that I probably won't be appreciated in my time." Oh, I appreciate you in your time, Zach.
You're more appreciated in your time than your co-host on the Movie Ladder podcast. Did you see ChatGPT completely cut Brendan out?
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw that there was a string of messages because on Renap,
Rob and Akiva asked Renap about like their podcast, and it gave like a pretty accurate description. So I asked it about 32 fans, and it gave a pretty accurate description, except that it had Davis Wallace Wells, you know, David Wallace Wells, the like environmental global warming reporter from the New York Times.
On the podcast?
No, it had him and Akiva as the co-hosts and as lifelong friends from childhood. I don't know what he was doing there. And then I asked it about New Girl, Old Guy, and it had a girl in her 30s named Caroline and a man in his 70s named Blake.
Yeah, so ChatGPT is hit or miss.
Well, they say that any information after 2021, they don't really know. And so, you know, NGOG is a relatively new podcast.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah. What did it say? Did you ask it what it's about us or just every other podcast on Earth?
Yeah.
Are you running the Party Down account?
I did it. Should I do that in real time right now? All right. Yeah, I think that we started to. All right, let's try ChatGPT. This is thrilling stuff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're in the middle of Zach Brooks's Postman. I'll keep reading while you do that. He says, I feel like Kyle is based on Chris Pratt. He says the come with guy is Ken Marino. What a hilarious episode for him. The fucking asshole is Ron's lawyer. He should have hired Av or Alex. Very true. He says, great premiere. Made me really excited for the season. 4.5 parties. All right. So that's our episode one, Postman. Do we want to tack on? Did we get anything from ChatGPT?
Yes, we did. What is
Do we have ChatGPT on the line?
Yes. I asked ChatGPT, what is the pretty good podcast? ? That was my question. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to start good. Pretty Good is a podcast that is dedicated to exploring the iconic TV series Curb Your Enthusiasm, created by Larry David.
True.
The show is hosted by, this is where it takes a turn, television critic and writer Stephanie Whittles Wax. Now, she, I believe, is the sister of Harris Whittles, who you love a lot. I mean, I also like
her. Oh, I do. Yes.
Yeah. So apparently she is now who is a self-proclaimed Curb Your Enthusiasm super fan. In each episode of the podcast, Stephanie is joined by a guest, not always, to analyze, discuss, and celebrate a particular episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. The guests are often actors, writers, comedians, and other pop culture personalities who share their insights and anecdotes about the show. The podcast also features interviews with the cast and crew of Curb Enthusiasm, as well as behind the scenes stories about the show. This is all accurate except for Stephanie Whittles Wax. Pretty Good is a must listen for fans of Curb Enthusiasm.
Oh, who very want to dive
deeper into the show's humor, characters, and themes. So the only inaccurate part of that is Stephanie Whittles Wax.
Yeah, they also don't know about Party Down or the rehearsal or some bunch of movies.
Yeah, but that all that's in the last few weeks. Like
they maybe ask ChatGPT. Have they talked about any other TV shows?
So I'm correcting it. So I said Stephanie Whittles Wax has nothing to do with the podcast. It's co-hosted by Av Sinensky and Alexander Chester. I apologize for the error in my previous response. You are correct that Stephanie Whittles Wax is not personally involved in the Pretty Good podcast.
Not personally involved, no. She's involved indirectly.
Co-hosted by Av Sinensky and Alexander Chester, who are both fans of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and often they're here. Yeah, then it just it repeats the same stuff.
Okay. Why don't you ask them what Pretty Good is talking
about
right now?
Do they discuss any other shows or movies on the podcast? Are you ready for the answer?
I am very ready.
No! The pretty good podcast is solely dedicated to analyzing and discussing episodes of the TV series Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Tell that to that guy on iTunes who wants to sue us for IP infringement.
I'm Sadetsky and Alexander Chester. Now they're showing off that they learned something. Explore each episode of the show in depth, offering new insights and humorous commentary on the plots, characters, and themes. While they may occasionally reference other TV shows or movies in their discussions,
occasionally.
Primary focus of Av and Alex on the podcast is on Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's definitely not true. What about the fact that we mention Hitler in every episode? That hasn't come up yet.
Yeah, actually, I put us in the Hitler category on the podcast thing on iTunes.
I heard the comedian Gary Goldman last night,
mm-hmm.
and he said, and at one point he started talking about the Holocaust and about Hitler, and he said, listen, you all knew as soon as I got up here that it was coming at some point. You were just guessing. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happens on this podcast. These Jews really got to stop talking about the Holocaust.
Get a life, Jews.
Yeah. And here I am. Okay. Gary, so, correct yet again. So, yeah, while we may occasionally reference other shows, our primary focus is on Curb Enthusiasm. So,
all right. So we'll be back with season one, episode one of Curb Your Enthusiasm next week, because this is exclusively a Curb show. And that'll be really fun. See you guys.